Psalms 27 this morning. As you stand, we honor the reading of God's word. Psalms 27. I want to read in your hearing this morning verses 13 and 14. Amen. It's always a good thing to see people turning their Bibles and making notes. Flipping pages. Amen. Amen. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. It's our text for this morning. David is the writer here. We don't know exactly what's going on in David's life at this moment. But verse 13 and 14 gives us an indication of the trial and the pressure that he may have been under. And he writes, I had fainted, or I would have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. And then if David was here, he said, again, I tell you, wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so very much that all over this country and all over the globe, there are people who have come together to worship you. Now, Father, has there ever been a time in all of our life that we need a word from heaven? We need it this morning. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us in such a way that all of us would be able to understand it and to apply it to our daily lives. Father, bless this congregation. We come with different needs and different concerns and different worries and different problems, but we come to the same source. We come to the throne of the God of all creation. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to, before I jump into the message this morning, I don't do this often, but I feel like I got liberty from the Lord to do so. I want to remind you this morning that there are some very special and precious moments in the life of every worship service.
That's right.
There are some moments that are more special than other moments. And so I want to remind all of our young people and some of our adults that there are certain things that happen in a worship service that needs your undivided attention. It deserves your reverence and your respect. Housekeeping. Number one, when people are praying, if you listen, say amen. When people are praying, unless the building is on fire, you need to stand still. I tell you this morning because I care and I love you and I want our church to function right. But I want to tell you, listen to me, that there are some things that we are allowing to happen as a church that we got to bring an end to. So number one, when people are praying, you need, if you're not going to pray, least you can do is stand still.
Amen.
Number two, here's the second thing. When the word of God is either being read or declared, you need to respect that. You need to honor that. Every Sunday morning, I ask you guys that can. I understand that some can't, but I ask you to stand for the reading of the word. I want to tell you that you're not disrespecting me when you don't stand. I don't have any blessings in my hand for you. Amen. What happens to you tomorrow depends nothing on me. But the one who's given the word, you ought to honor him enough. You stand if there were flapjacks on the table. You stand if somebody were giving out $100. I am amazed. Listen to me. This ain't the sermon. Y'all in for it today, I'm telling you. I am amazed how we can go into a courtroom and some human being robed in a black jacket can walk in the room and we'll break our neck standing. But we can't stand for the reading of God's word. I'm amazed, listen to me, I'm amazed at how in our classrooms when the teacher is talking, we dare not to talk, but we'll talk when the preacher is preaching. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Some of the best sleep that some of us get is when the preacher start preaching. Now, I don't know. I take half of the blame. Maybe my preaching ain't no good, but maybe you ought to go to sleep at night, too. Amen. Some of us, Lord help us, I'm not fussing, we may just do this morning, call it a day.
Come on.
Go out of church, no better off when we leave than what we were before we got here. We're blaming on everything and everybody else when really the problem was you. Amen. When I was younger, one of the things that always fascinated me was bodybuilders. I love to watch bodybuilders. Man, I was fascinated with the massive muscles that they had. I was intrigued by their bulging biceps and triceps, and I would always tell myself when I was younger, I'm going to look just like them one of these days. As y'all can tell, I felt just a little bit short. Whenever the wide world of sports would be broadcasting a bodybuilding competition, I would sit and I would watch with amazement. And soon as the show was over, I'd get up and go outside. And I find the few little weights that we had, and for 5 minutes, I would lift with all of my heart. Amen. And I wouldn't lift anymore again until I seen another show about 6 to 8 weeks later. I want to let you in on a secret this morning. Those men wasn't born like that. In fact, it was not some nature or natural phenomenon that they look the way they look. Any bodybuilder would tell you that. Bible called, in order to look like they look and have what they got, you got to have the right kind of habits. It takes some sacrifice. It takes some right kind of training. It requires putting some time into it. You're going to look like them boys look. They'll tell you that you got to have the right practices. Got to have the right habits in life. Any bodybuilder will tell you that you get out of it what you put into it. Stay with me for just a moment. I'm going somewhere. We're going quick this morning. not born that way. It's not some natural phenomenon that brought them to where they are. It took some sacrifice. It took some putting forth of some effort. They'll tell you that perhaps one of the most important habits to form in life, if you're going to be successful at bodybuilding, is that you got to develop the habit of a never quit attitude. You got to stay with it. You got to keep doing it even when you don't feel like it. You got to keep at it even when it's not convenient. To develop that never quit, never give in attitude. I thought about that this week. I thought about what are some of the habits of a person who don't think. What are some of the habits of a person who don't give up and they don't give in spite of the difficulties and in spite of the trials and the tribulations they may be facing in life? Can I tell you this morning that the Christian life ain't always easy? It's not always easy to go in the right direction. It's not always easy to do the right thing. There are many difficulties. There are many temptations. There are many struggles that we run across in life. What are some of the habits of a church that don't quit? What are some of the habits of a Christian who don't faint under the load? David is the writer here. We don't know when David wrote this. We don't know the circumstances that were surrounding the writing of this psalm. But if you go back and you check David's life, one of the things that you will learn is that, like all of us, David had his ups and he had his downs. There were moments in David's life when it would have been easy to faint, when it would have been easy to throw in the towel, when it would have been easy to just walk away and forget about the whole thing. But David formed some habits in his life, and I believe that they were habits that he formed when he was a young man that helped him and enabled him to keep going when he was old. So I look around in the church. Brother Larry, I want to tell you that there are a lot of folks that's giving up. There are a lot of people that's throwing in the towel. There are people who are missing. They are missing in action. And I'm telling you, listen to me, it's not because they're going to another church. It's because they walked away from the faith because of difficulties, because of trials, because of the temptations of this world. Stay with me this morning, because I know what I got for you came from the Lord. And so I want to talk to all of you guys this morning who maybe you feel like I feel. You feel like you're fighting hell with a water gun. You feel like you're carrying a mountain on your shoulders. You feel like everything that you put your hand to, somehow or another, it turns against you. How do you not quit? How do you not throw in the towel when the burden gets so heavy? David gives us five things. I'm not going to shout them to you this morning, because if I do, I'll run out of here. But David gives us five things, listen, that we can anchor to when the going gets tough. We can anchor to when the enemy has surrounded us. We can anchor to when they give us a pink slip on the job or a bad report in the office. We can build our lives on it. Number one, David reminds us in this psalm. Listen, I want you to go back to verse 13, because I want you to see something. Listen, he says in verse 13, he said, I would have fainted. Now, that tells me something, Solid Rock. That tells me that the potential And the possibility for David to faint was real. Listen, don't you ever think for one moment that life can't get so upside down that you don't think about quitting. Don't you believe for one single moment that what took place in that brother or sister's life wouldn't have the same effect on you that it had on them. Listen, there are some people, Brother Tank, there are some people who have walked away from the things of God not because they're such a bad person. But I'm telling you something I've learned. Life can get full of hell. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen, don't you fool yourself into thinking just because it's good and sunshine today, it's going to be that way tomorrow. David said, I would have fainted. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have quit. I would have told them church folk, get out of my face. If I had not believed something. See, let me tell you something. Listen. If you don't get nothing else, you get this right here. You get this because this is what coming to church for. What you believe. Listen, what you believe will determine whether you stand or fall when the storms are raging. David said, the only thing at the end of the day that held me together, that kept me hanging in there, that kept me going, was what I believed. Now, can I tell you some things I believe? I still believe that serving Jesus is better than serving the devil. I still believe that. The devil offers pleasure. When you come on God's side, you're going to have some trials. But I still believe being on God's team is better than being on the devil's team. Amen. Let me tell you something else I believe. I still believe that the trials and the tribulation that we face now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us when Jesus Christ shall return. Let me tell you something else I believe. It's been 2,000 years, but I still believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Huh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
David said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You need to underline that. You need to learn that. Listen, hear what David's teaching us. David's teaching us that we as believers can expect some good days while we wait on the day.
Amen.
Amen. Can I tell you, listen. Can I tell you one of the reasons why I believe that some people are so deeply depressed and some are even at the point considering suicide? It's because when trouble comes, now y'all listen, for all y'all that notice the truth, I want you to say amen. When trouble comes in our lives, the devil try to make us believe that the way it is right now, in the midst of this trouble, is the way it's going to always be.
Amen.
I was blessed and privileged to be in the delivery room with my wife when our children were born. I seen some of the joy that Maddie was experiencing. I think it was Chris when the medicine didn't take effect the way it should have. I seen my wife in some pain. I know that how I feel, and I'm sure Miss Maddie felt even deeper than this. I'm glad that this is just a temporary deal.
Amen. Amen.
Sometime, Robert, when you're going through pain and you're in a storm, the one thing that the devil wants to do, he wants to forecast the rest of your future.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
And so he tried to make you believe that how it is now is how it's going to always be. Some of you guys, you come here this morning, listen, you come in faith, you come because you love God, but you come here with some trouble in your life. For some, you got financial trouble. For some, you got family problems. For some, you got spiritual problems. And the devil wants to make you believe that you're in a dead and wintertime season in your life and spring is never going to come. But the devil's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And so David said, listen, he said, I would have fainted. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have given up if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then David says, he said, wait on the Lord. He said, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And then he says it again. He said, wait on the Lord. Now listen, whenever the Bible says anything twice without taking a breath, he's trying to tell us that what I'm telling you is very important. And then listen, there's some of us here this morning, we come here and we got problems. We got problems in our home. We got problems on the job. We got problems at school. We got problems in this. We got problems in debt. Listen, and the temptation is to try to take it in your own hands and to fix it your own self. The temptation, listen, the temptation is just to walk away from it and say, it hadn't gotten no better in 6 weeks. It ain't gonna get no better now. But listen, God's timing is perfect timing.
Yes, sir.
God never puts a cake in the oven and take it out too early or leave it in there too long. When he put it in, it's the right time. And when he take it out, it's the right time. And what I'm telling you this morning, you gotta just learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on him. I know it's been a year, but keep waiting. And every now and then, listen, you ought to just look up toward heaven and say, Father, I'm still waiting on you. You see, waiting is an indication to heaven that you still believe the promise. Waiting, listen to me. Waiting is an indication, listen, it's an indication to heaven that you still hold on to the promise. And so he said, wait on the Lord. But listen, and this wasn't even a sermon, I'll just be honest with you. Listen, but he said something else in verse 14. Listen, don't miss this. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And while you're waiting, and while you're being of good courage, he'll strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen your heart. See, listen to me. God never sends you into a storm without giving you everything that you need to get through that storm.
Yes, sir.
And he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. You know, there have been times in my life when I was going through something in Solid Rock, and I had been going through it for a little while. And I tell myself, if this don't get no better by tomorrow, if this person don't get off my back by tomorrow, if their attitude don't get no better, I put up with it today. But now, Lord, I'm telling you, tomorrow. I can't take it. One more day. This is it. And you get to that next day. And things hadn't changed a bit. If they did anything, they got worse. You know, you wonder sometimes how things can get worse. I'm going to tell you something. Not only things can get worse, folks can get worse. And God will give you the strength to endure what you need to endure. There's some here this morning, you're facing some big stuff. You're facing some giant industrial-sized stuff. And the devil want to make you think that you're at the point of caving in. But folks, I come this morning to tell you that if he calls you into it, he'll give you the grace to see you through it. David said he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. Amen. Only reason you don't lose your mind because he'll strengthen you. Only reason that you don't do bodily injury to somebody is because he'll strengthen you.
Amen.
He'll strengthen you. Let me give you two or three things that's good here. What are some habits? What are some habits that we need to form that'll help us finish our race? Number one, listen, we ought to form the habit of remembering who God is to us. Now, some of you guys, you're in a storm this morning, you're facing trials and you're facing tribulations. One of the habits that you can form is often remind yourself of who God is in your life. Listen to what David says in verse number one. He said, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Number one, make it a habit of remembering who God is in your life. Remember who he is. He's not just some average Joe. He's not just some stranger that's passing through. But I'm telling you, David said he's my light. He's my salvation. He's my strength. And what he was to David, that's what he'll be to you and me. It's my light. Light speaks of hope. Light speaks of joy. Listen, light speaks of guidance and directions for life. David said, he's my light. He's my light. He's my light. Life can get dark sometimes. Sometimes you find yourself in dark situations and circumstances where it's easy to fall into doubt and unbelief. But God comes along and his personal presence in our lives shines a light of hope. Gives us a reason to rejoice. Number one, remember who he is. Here's the second thing. Not only do you need to remember who he is in your circumstance, but you need to remember what he's already brought you through. Amen. Look at verse number two. David said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they failed. And what David is doing as we close this morning, David is reflecting back over his life. And he's looking at all of the things that God has brought him through. Notice the word. Notice how the verse read. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foe, came upon me. That's past tense. He's looking back down memory lane, and he's looking at all that God had brought him through. You remember, don't you, that God brought you through that sickness that the doctor said you weren't going to live 6 months, but you've been 6 years and you're still here. You remember, don't you, that God brought you through that financial crisis, that the bank said that they were going to take everything you had, but somehow or another, God supernaturally arranged things where you were able to hold on to your home and able to hold on to your sanity. You remember, don't you, that God brought you through that time of marriage crisis when it looked like it was just going to end in divorce and there was no way you guys were going to stay together, but somehow or another supernatural love come to him and it come to you and you're more in love now than you ever been. You remember that, don't you? You remember that, how your kids, how God had to bring you through that rebellious season with your kids when your kids were bad. And they were doing all kind of crazy and stupid stuff, and you just didn't think you were going to be able to make it. You lay awake at night, couldn't sleep because you didn't know where that kid was. And all of a sudden, one day, when the doors of the church is open and the invitation is given, that child come walking down the aisle and give Jesus Christ their heart.
Bless you, Lord. Amen. Woo. Amen. Yes, Father.
How he brought you through that. How he brought you through that. And what David was saying, this ain't my first battle. This ain't my first rodeo. I've been fighting ever since I was 17 years old. I've been fighting lions and bears. Went down to the battlefield one day when the Philistines were thinking about invading us and to take my brother some cheese and some crackers, and got out there and had to kill a giant. This ain't my first rodeo.
Yes, sir.
Now you listen to me, and I'm going home. You listen to me. If you will just think for a moment, this ain't the first thing that God had to bring you through. This is not the first storm you've been in. This is not the first battle that you had to fight. This ain't the first time that the enemy has attacked you. The same God who brought you through the Jordans and the Red Seas and the wilderness is the same God who sits on the throne this morning, and all power is still in his hands. What are some habits that we need to form? Number one, we need to remember who God is. When I look back on my life and see those times of great worry and great anxiety, and last week was one of them. I told my wife when I got to the place where we took the test at, and the woman handed me my envelope. They put the test in an envelope by that tall. And she handed me my test. I thought that thing growled at me. I could have swore I seen, heard it say, "Rrr." But when I got in there and sat down, and the man told us we could open it, I'm sure that he growled at me. In fact, I would have swore I seen some demons leap out of that day.
Amen.
Time of great anxiety. Time of great worry. And while I was sitting there, boy, it's good to be close to the Lord.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Amen.
While I was sitting there, I heard the Lord say, regardless of what happens, I still got you.
Amen.
I still got you. And I'm going to hold you from earth to glory. I got you. And I come this morning to tell you, listen to me. If you are his child, he still got you. He still got you. David said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he said, wait on the Lord. You know what that means? I mean, you pull your pants up. You take your stand. You put a smile on your face. And you just wait. You just wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up like wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. And they'll walk and not faint. Some better days are coming, I promise you. Some better days coming. You never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, the Word of God says that if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right now, you're lost. You may not feel lost. You may not look lost, but you're lost. You're spiritually lost. And the only way that you can get saved is let Jesus save you. You can't do it yourself. You have to let him save you. We're full of pride. We're prideful people. We don't like the thought of anybody having to do anything for us. I can do it myself. Bless her heart, my poor mom, legs are just worn out on her. I went down a couple of weeks ago to help her with some necessities. And nothing to do, mama, but to try to do it herself, and she can't do it herself. She can't even stand. She can't even stand any longer with a walker, let alone without a walker. She can't fix her own food. She can't clothe herself. But she still wants to do it herself. But I'm telling you this morning, you will never get saved unless you let Jesus save you. He won't do it against your will. But he'll do it if you allow him to. And it don't matter how dark and how hellish and how evil your sins have been, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you and wash you and make you new again. You stand with me. Listen. Habits. Listen. Habits will either make you or break you. Good habits will take you in a right direction. Bad habits will bring you in a place of misery. And the reason why some of us are not spiritual, more spiritually strong than what we are, is because we live by the wrong kind of habits. No habit of Bible study. No prayer life. Only time you pray is when you're in trouble. No love for the people of God. And it's become a habit for you. You know what a habit is? A habit is something you just do naturally without even thinking about it. You wake up every morning at 6 o'clock without a clock. By 6:15, you got your coffee in your cup. You put two spoons of sugar in it, and you stir it two times and tap the thing. You do it every morning. You know, that's a habit. We need to develop some good habits. Some habits of remembering who God is. Some habits of remembering what he's brought us through. Father, we're thankful this morning for this time together. I should thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we all get it. I pray that we get it, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, that this been a good seed that's been sown in good soil and that it'll bring forth a harvest. I thank you for the great love that you have for us in spite of us. I thank you that you don't have to do it again, but if you had to do it again, you would still come and die for sinners like us. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for a spiritually hungry church. I thank you for people who are hungry for more of you. And your promise to us is that for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. Now, Lord, as we give this invitation, I don't know what needs to happen. It's out of my hands. But God, I pray that not one person will leave here this morning without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that not one believer, not one Christian will leave here this morning without at least asking you to help us to develop the right kind of habits so we'll be fit for the battle. Father, I sure do thank you for Solid Rock. I sure do thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you that you have not left us, nor have you forsaken us. But you sure do want to work in this place.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes,
and in your people.
Yes, Father.
So, Father, Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, the altar's open. You come. As the Lord leads, you come.